Welcome to Office Hours. I'm David Meltzer. We're here at the SiriusXM studios live in Las Vegas at the Wynn Hotel and Resorts. And we have an incredible entrepreneur with us. He's the face of NBA 2K, the 2K franchise in general, co-founder of Levels SF. But what's so impressive is he's also ambassador of a charity that I've worked with for over 30 years, the Make-A-Wish Foundation. He is a humanitarian and a super sports fan. Ronnie Singh, Ronnie 2K, welcome to Office Hours.
Hey, everyone. How's it going?
Amazing, brother. You know, what I love about you is you're constantly expanding and innovating. And like me, you're a phoenix. You expand from one success into all these other areas. There has to be a philosophy or a common denominator. I know what mine is. I call it my spine approach. I have a spine of desire, and all the businesses are interrelated as vertebrae coming off the spine, which has allowed me, when you get as old as me, you'll have tons of different opportunities, but I always see you in different areas. But it all started with knowing your community, that 2K community, and what you could do from there, whether it's charity or business. Is there a common denominator or a thread that you use to take on new projects like Levels San Francisco or Levels SF?
I think we're very analogous there, Dave, and I don't think I'm on your level at all. You are a pioneer in the industry for sure.
That means I'm old, guys. Thank you.
I guess I'm getting closer. You just explained to me what my long-term goal is. No, obviously, I think that's a really good call. It's trying to create as many lanes to swim in as possible so that you can expand the platform for good in all of these places. You know, it started with sports and gaming for me. It's expanded into experiential and being able to give back to the community. And now, you know, getting to go after this film project, which I'm sure we're going to talk about in a little bit. It's a whole new audience, a whole new place to like storytell, and very exciting, you know, to be able to expand that message. Ultimately, you know, we're trying to build this platform, be it inspirational, influential, the right kind of influence, which we explore heavily in the documentary, to, you know, be able to do good things for the world.
I just want to say that I love how you describe the tendrils of your business and your brand. And I think every entrepreneur reaches a point where you build sustenance, right? You get a return on your investment, but then it's about fulfillment. And those two things are not the same. And that's what I'm hearing you say. So congratulations on having a really far reach. And I want to ask you more about your documentary, because I'm an author of a book, and it's very much a self-help memoir. So I know what is required to tell the story of your life. Why did you make a documentary about your story? What are you trying to create influence over?
Yeah, I think those are tied really well. I sort of want to answer your first part by answering the second part. The documentary, I was approached by a lot of people to do a tell-all. You know, my existence is, Forbes call me the original influencer, or whatever it's been labeled, you know, like early days, seeing the power of influence and what it can do in a good way. That was the idea of trying to create. I got approached by a ton of people to tell this story and talk about the mechanisms of how to get there. What was interesting about this particular person that reached out to me was Sundance winner, had a lot of success with a film called DD a couple years ago. And he happened to go to grade school and high school with me. So he knew my childhood experience and what kind of armed me to be ready to be so forward facing and handle the vitriol and handle the success and be able to like kind of just stay balanced. So he really took it to a different angle that was different than, you know, a tell all book or being able to do a documentary just focused on the success of 2K. And I think, you know, influence is an interesting one, and it's very heavily explored in the documentary. You just said, I think about how to use it as a platform for good and spread message and storytell. And that story never keeps going. Like, I just opened Levels. This documentary is coming. It just continues. I think a lot of these new age influencers, and we do explore this heavily in the documentary, are very transactional, are very in the moment. They don't think about whether these brands are going to want to work with them in the long-term future. So they're very in the moment. And so And you'll see there's so many cases of people burning out after, you know, streaming for a couple years or doing IRL stuff. I mean, it's very impressive, some of them. Obviously, iShowSpeed is such a huge hit right now, and he does, you know, daily IRL streams, going to Disneyland and whatnot. And all of that is very impressive. But ultimately, like, it's driving dollars or it's driving monetization. Is it making the world a better place? Mm. I don't know. And that's what we explore in this film. And I'm very excited for people to see it, because I really do think it's going to shock the world and really open a lane that, like, I'm sure David feels the same way. I'm sure some of you guys feel the same way. We go and speak to young people all the time. And now young people all want to be influential. They want to be YouTubers. Mm. They want to be streamers. They don't understand, like, the amount of work that goes into that, how much you're really putting, you know, unveiling the kimono, like, you're really revealing, you're opening up your life. You know, I had some very scary incidents that involved my family, and we're going to explore those as well. That, like, is so much vulnerability that we're about to go into, but one that I think is going to make the world a better place and really understand influencer on a more mass appeal standpoint, as opposed to this industry that nobody really understands.
Yeah, just to call it an industry is still perplexing to me, and almost as perplexing, Ronnie, as a 19-year-old life coach. That one, when I see this, like, please don't even call.
Are we picking on? I don't know who we're talking about specifically, but yeah, I mean, yeah.
I'm not sure naming names.
It's the person that's standing in front of a car they don't own. That's who I'm talking about. That's fine, though. The Time Master himself, meet my friend John Coyle, and he speaks on many stages and lives his life to impact others with the lessons he's learned, coming from up there by you, a Stanford guy, Olympic medalist. This will be an interesting conversation.
All right, Ronnie, I have a really deep question for me, at least. I have been playing in the B2B world up until now. The books I've written, this talks I do, it's corporate audience. They're captive. There's no trolling. There's no hidden people. There's no haters. Negative feedback, yeah, basically.
No haters.
And you grew up in this world. I have to admit, this is a two-part question. Did you face, maybe more than once, imposter syndrome as you were creating basically a completely new type of business model and face the business? And secondly, how did you deal with probably were inevitable trolls out there? Because that's the one thing that scares me about moving to B2C, which is what I'm going to be doing in the next 6 months. I'm not necessarily ready to be
prepared. Yeah.
Crushed by people's feedback.
Mm. Sean knows the answer to that.
It's a great question. I mean, obviously our brand 2K is a worldwide phenomenon. It's played and beloved by many. Anything that's beloved, whether that's, you know, a celebrity, athlete, whatever, is going to face their vitriol. Why it was so important to work with the director that I'm working with is that he knew my childhood story. And I'm brown. I'm of Indian descent. I lived in a very white, affluent area. We were not well off at all. Actually, I didn't buy the first copy of 2K. I used a modded copy. I probably shouldn't admit that, but you know, like, we just couldn't afford it, right? And so I was so different. I wore a turban. I don't know if you guys saw my post on Monday, but that was pretty eye-opening for people to see me with long hair as a kid and just being able to deal with that vitriol. And then, you know, 9/11 happened, and being Sikh and the ignorance around, Punjabi people with turbans not being the culprits of what happened there, but getting attacked. My dad runs a convenience store, gas station, traditional Indian businesses, and people were getting murdered at their place of work, you know, things like that. There was many articles about that, many instances of that. And so it was a very scary time. I mean, the reason I'm telling you all of this is because the vitriol I deal with these faceless keyboard warriors, and sometimes they become more than that. And we, like I said, we explored that in the documentary. There was very kind of scary, heinous things that happened to me and other influencers. It pales in comparison to real world tragedy and real world, like, violence, real world aggression. So I think I was almost weirdly prepared to be able to handle the negative feedback. I also am very aware of what I'm responsible for In my day-to-day, I don't create 2K. I am not the owner or a developer or anything like that. I just got the unique proposition to kind of spearhead our storytelling and be a small cog in telling that the story of this amazingly popular brand. And to do it as a nascent thing, as an influencer, I don't know if even 2K or I were prepared to like have to, you know, like I was just at ComplexCon in Vegas or right down the street from you guys and, you know, have a full-time security patrol and all of that. Like, and a lot of these influencers do, and it's scary that that's the world that we live in. You know, things that happen politically, you know, whatever you think politically of Charlie Kirk, right? Like, he was using his influence to storytell and he got shot for it, right? So like, it's just a very scary time if that influence isn't protected but also used properly. Toxicity, you know, is a massively scary thing in the world that we live in now, and it's just sad. I think this film is going to really be eye-opening because we really explore a lot of the subjects that I just mentioned, and it's just going to blow people away that it's gotten kind of to this level.
Well, Ronnie, great to see you again.
You too.
You know, when we talk about this term influence, and we talked about a generation of youngsters who desire, they don't want to be a doctor or a lawyer. They want to be an influencer. And so now there's the commodity of influence itself. And so I would love to hear your take of when you picked up that pirated 2K game, when you started.
Thanks for bringing no attention to that.
When you started, yeah, well, I know I said
so
it.
I'm just joking.
No, he denies it.
Let's hypothetically. Yeah.
When you first picked up the game, were you doing it to become an influencer? And if not, at what point do you realize, like, all of a sudden I'm building this commodity? Because then you have this choice to use it for good, which you've done, or a lot of people that then just treat it as a commodity and becomes very transactional. Because I think in your case, this wasn't all intentionally planned out as a roadmap. So walk us through that evolution as it evolved and how you made that choice to do good with that influence.
Absolutely. It was not a purposeful, strategic thing at all. I grew up in the 2K community as one of our best gamers. I was top 10 of the leaderboards a few years in the early days. Now the kids are way too good. I would never be top 10 anymore. But, you know, like, and then the NBA started investing in Steph Curry versus the Warriors and LeBron versus the Lakers. You know what I mean? Like, and our game became about my career, and social media was having this rise. All of this created this perfect storm that I was never strategically trying to be the face of this brand or the face of anything, really. But I so passionately talked about it. I had such a point of view, and people, you know, glammed onto that. And I'm so appreciative to our fans to have propped us up into the opportunity to be able to do that. But I think we were also uniquely positioned because our brand is competitive. Sports is competitive. Gaming is competitive. So you sort of want a polarizing figure, right? Like, I can clap back, I can, you know, talk trash in a way that our brand can't, but it's authentic because that's what people want to see. They want to see that kind of like audaciousness, that boldness. That's what got us from, you know, zero to what we are now. Mm-hmm. The rise that 2K has had, being bold and taking chances, and me being a small part of that. And so, yeah, I think that's, and then what do you want to stand for ultimately, right? Like, we always think about, we built this very successful brand, but what are we trying to inspire the next generation of kids to be? And a lot of it is good, right? Like, instead of being on the streets, we have them playing our game. We have built a world for them to make friends. And there's so many great videos of like meeting, so, you know, Cam Skedebo was playing with a bunch of kids the other day, and Amon St. Rob Brown was playing late night before a game, and his community was getting to play with him. And then all the, you know, kids meeting each other in 2K, and then 10 years later meeting in real life. Like, all of that is like, it's just amazing stories. And then to be able to like transition that into the work we do with Make-A-Wish that you mentioned, David, and 2K Foundations, where we're refurbishing courts and building them around the world. Like, all of it was I think the philanthropy came from this organic platform just coming to surface. It was like, what are you going to do with that platform? Let's make sure it's to benefit the basketball audience and this next generation to be better.
When you find out more about the story of Ronnie 2K in this documentary, you'll understand for the sake of what we do things and the fulfillment, passion, purpose, mm-hmm. and is seen with Ronnie 2K and 2K in general. So was profitability follow. The commissions always follow the mission, a mission-driven leader on and off the court, a dear friend, and I cannot wait to see this documentary, The Story of Ronnie Singh. Check out Levels, the first of many. We'll be participating in many events at Levels there in San Francisco. An incredible entrepreneur, philanthropist, and a friend, Ronnie Singh, thanks for joining us on Office Hours.
Thank you. You know what? One last thing, David and yep. crew. I am obviously, we're trying to name the documentary. It's far away and like it's still far from being launched, right? Like there's a lot of work that's been put into it. It's got the obviously all the ingredients to be very successful, and now we're like, what is this thing going to be called? So that's going to be the next fascinating announcement. Like what are we going to name this thing?
Come on, man. You got to run a contest.
Oh my God. You got to run a contest. That's what I thought he
was going to do. Yeah.
We might.
Yeah. I would. If I was Ronnie 2K, I would have a 2K contest. That's for sure. I'll be the first submission in that story as well. 2K today. And we are here. Thank you, Ronnie 2K. I'm David Meltzer. This is Office Hours.